Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I'm Martin Bain.
And I'm Homer Fife.
And hey, have you seen all the new video media center we have on AboveTopSecret.com?
Why, yes I have, Martin. In fact, I would like to point our listeners to this. This is a great thing. They can post their political videos. They can make videos and post them up there. It's at media.AboveTopSecret.com. And if they go to that location, they can sign on with their own username and their own password, the same one they use it Above Top Secret. And this is going to be a wonderful place, Martin, for all of our listeners and for us too, to post anything political that's of interest to us. It's wide open. It's kind of like YouTube, only better. The layout of this thing is wonderful. It's completely customizable to the individual member. You can add a different background. There's a place for an avatar and comments and a bulletin board. And this really has a lot of potential, Martin. And I would really like for our listeners to go there, take a look around, sign on, and you know we can start doing a whole lot of political stuff on there as well.
Absolutely, and it shows that, you know, ATS, you know, we brought you the ATS mix and the Above Politics Show, then the BTS mix, and now we're bringing you the ability to upload your video. So it's exciting times for the whole site, which I think can only commend the three amigos and say, good job, chaps.
Absolutely. I just can't imagine the amount of work that went into this. The three amigos are definitely looking out for us. And, of course, with the way the economy is right now with the job system or with the unemployment being at 7.6% overall, I kind of hope somebody's looking out for us.
Absolutely. And, yes, that was going to bring me into a nice one about jobs and, you know, how many people across the world have lost theirs recently. And you touched on it that unemployment in the States is going up, unemployment in the UK is going up, unemployment across Western Europe is all going up, and there have been many companies that have been laying people off fairly extensively. You know, we've had, you know, thousands of people laid off in the UK. You know, you've had tens of thousands of, you know, people laid off by, you know, single organizations. You know, you've got Microsoft laying people off, you've got dependable companies that were a perception that the dependable organizations are just laying people off left, right and center.
Yeah, I'll give you a shocker, Martin. This is how bad it is. There are several states, mine included, here in the United States, that are reporting double digit. Now, that's over 10% unemployment rate for the state. And they are actually laying off key personnel. And what I mean by key personnel, we have law enforcement agencies here laying people off. And normally speaking, a law enforcement officer would consider his job to be secure the worse the economy gets, because the worse the economy gets, normally crime goes up and the more policemen that are needed. But the economy is so bad right at this point in time, they're laying people off. They are coming up with this system of mandate days off. And what that means is they're calling it a furlough, but basically the law enforcement officer will have to take a number of days off throughout the year that are unpaid. And this is causing a whole lot of roll between the population and the citizenry are all up in arms over this, because of course it means less protection and less services that their tax dollars are paying for.
But the issue is, if you haven't got people who are potentially working or have the ability to pay taxes, then, you know, I suppose it's, you know, we all expect, you know, personally we're all cutting our cloth to suit our financial situation. You know, I suppose we expect not only our police forces but all our local authorities and all our public servants to do the same thing. And I can see your point. I mean, it's almost a catch-22 in the fact that maybe, you know, because people are out of work, they're probably going to think, well, hang on a minute, that person's got something, why do they need three of those when I've got none of them? But then if you haven't got the people to pay the police officers, you then put, you know, your police department into debt, you know, and where does it end? So I think it's, you know, it's a real catch-22 here.
Oh, it is. And that brings up another question I'd like to ask you. Currently, the United States stimulus package is at $937 billion. And now, this may be a simplistic way of looking at it, Martin, but I want to ask you, where are they getting that money from? If you have 7.6% unemployment rate, you have double-digit unemployment in some states, some of the poorer states over here, And I'm not sure what your unemployment, I think your unemployment rate's the same over there, is it not?
It's certainly gone up. I think officially, I think it's still under 2 million, but I think unofficially, most people would say it is over 2 million. But there were some figures announced in January that said I think it was 1.9 million people were currently out of work, which is fairly high. And to answer your question, well, there's two places they're either getting the money from. They're either printing it or they're borrowing it. And if they're borrowing it, they're either borrowing it from China or they're borrowing it from the Middle East, which is still flush with money because of oil. So, you know, if you're borrowing it from China and the Middle East, you're still in debt.
Isn't that what got us in trouble? I mean, isn't the borrowing of money what got us in trouble, what got us to this point?
I'm not sure you can actually say just borrowing money. I mean, you know, if you had a listen to last week's interview with Buster Quist, who sort of spoke about the sort of financial, the implications of what was going on. Borrowing money, I think it was because people were leveraging and sort of said, right, I've got £10 in the bank, but that means I can now go and borrow, or I can lend maybe £1,000, and then hopefully I'm going to get all the money in, and then someone calls you and you're in trouble. So I suspect borrowing is still a problem, but that's been the time immemorial, is that, you know, those countries or those people that have had money will always lend money to those that don't. So, you know, and if China and the Middle East has excess cash, what are they going to do with it? They're going to borrow it from the, you know, and the US government, you have to think, is a fairly safe bet. The UK government, treasury bonds, you know, they're fairly safe bets, because you're pretty confident that if you lend money to the US government, you've probably got a fairly high expectation you're going to get it back.
Really? See, and I want to make two points real quick. And of course, it's going to be controversial, but I've never hesitated on that before. One, let's hope and pray that the United States isn't just printing this money, okay? Because, I mean, that's what happened in Germany back in the 1920s, which caused the incredible inflation rate. But more importantly, as far as the interview that you had last week went, this is H.L. Quist, I believe, wasn't it?
Yep, it certainly was.
Yeah, I hate to just come out and say this, but he's wrong. He's wrong on several topics, and not the least of which is the fact that the government needs to step in and needs to control the market. That's the problem. The problem is too much control. The government stepped in, and that's why we're where we are now. The government's coming in, and they're making promises. They're writing checks that their butts can't cash, and that's where the problem comes up, because the government says, I mean, let's just go back to the original problem here with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and I know I've brought it up on shows before, and people are probably tired of hearing it, but it's an absolute perfect example. The United States government steps in and says, okay, we will give these poor people these houses. We know they can't afford them. We know that they don't even have enough money for the down payment, but we're going to put them in these new houses, and we, the government, are going to guarantee these loans. Well, what happens? Well, of course they can't make the payments. If they could make the payments, they'd have a down payment for the house. So the government has to step in, and they have to bail these homeowners out, these new homeowners who couldn't afford the house they put them in. So all of a sudden, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac get in some massive financial trouble because of all these guarantees. And it's just a perfect prime example of the government needing to stay the heck out of the market and let the market control itself.
But some people would turn around and say that the market in some respects has caused some of this problem. And if you think about what Buster Quist said last week regarding derivatives and the way that people were taking derivatives and using those as an asset and then leveraging up to say, right, I've got $100 worth of asset, therefore against that I will either lend or borrow significantly more than that asset is actually worth, or I will offer more money and backing it up. I think, you know, you can turn around and say, hang on a minute, should not these institutions have been financially astute and said, hang on a minute, how can we say have $100 in the bank but have guaranteed maybe $1,000 using that $100 and just hoping that if I get caught, only one person for $100 is going to cripple me and I'm going to get the money in for the other nine. So you could turn around and flip that one around and say, hang on a minute, but these organizations did that. Should they not have been self-regulated? And, you know, and I think we can all turn around and say, certainly in the UK, you know, the financial institutions don't have the best record for regulating themselves. You know, we've got the pension fiascos where many people who were in what you call company pensions, i.e. pensions that were run by the company, they were encouraged to leave those pensions to go into private pensions. And those private pensions haven't performed as well. And the reason that, you know, and I was one of those people who was encouraged, was because the person selling me the pension was making a ton of money. And now,
Martin, I'm not saying, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the market's perfect. It's not. But it will regulate itself. If it's left alone, it will regulate itself. Are people going to lose money? Absolutely. Are there going to be horror stories and are we going to have people sitting around crying because they've lost money? Yes. Yes, we are. In an economic downturn, that's going to happen. But the answer is not the government stepping in. It just isn't. And I cannot be more vehement in my stance on that and my support of that. The government regulation and government control is one of the biggest problems in society as we stand right now. And you know what I do for a living, so you know that I'm basically a government employee. But I cannot stress enough that if you look at any one of these issues, and I'm talking about any single one of them, the bankers fiasco, the mortgage lending fiasco, they are all brought about by government regulation, government control that went haywire. And it wouldn't have went haywire if they'd have just let the market handle itself. We would have foreclosures. We'd have people on the street. But look what we're doing now. And it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. And people need to understand that. And this $937 billion stimulus, yeah, I'd love to get a check from the government. But do I want to get a check from the government at the expense of my dollar being worth less and less and less as we go on? No. No, I don't. I want them to get out of it. Let the market handle itself. Let's get through this tragedy and get back on our feet.
You make a very persuasive argument there, but you have to turn around and say, but the majority of the American people did not vote for a political party, i.e. the Republicans, that would do that. The American people turned around and said, hang on a minute, we want Democrats in power, and Democrats historically have been known for having, you know, a larger government and being more regulatory than the Republicans. So ultimately the US people turned around and said, actually, we want to put in power a president and then also give him, you know, the ability to have Congress and everything set up so that, you know, they're all Democrat. So the American people have voted for more regulation of industry.
Oh, I agree. And I want to go back to and look, one of our listeners, I'm sure, absolutely sure, will be able to jump in and tell us who said this. But there was a famous person going back in history who made the comment that a democracy can never work. And the reason it can is because the population will eventually realize they can vote into power the people that will give them money from the coffers. And that is the beginning of the downfall of any democracy. And I hate to say it, but it's something we might be looking at right now.
Well, my father, when he was alive, used to say there was only one decent form of government, and that was a benevolent dictator. And I am putting myself forward for that role because I think I could do a great job running the whole planet. Benevolent dictator, vote for me.
Martin, you have my vote. I will. In fact, I'll campaign for you.
There we are. So, hey, we might have started something new on the Above Politics show here. But, I mean, certainly one of the other things that I've sort of seen, and this is probably a more of a UK thing at the moment and sort of ripples off all the sort of banking credit and financial credit, is that bankers in the United Kingdom and some of the banks that have been bailed out by the British taxpayer to the tune of £37 billion, which is probably around about $45 to $50 billion. They're looking to pay their staff bonuses. And I'm sort of thinking, and as many other people in the United Kingdom think, well, if we've bailed your bank out, should you really be giving bonuses to employees to say, hey, you've done a good job, chaps? My view is, guess what? Not with my money.
But that's the problem, isn't it? It's going to be with your money, because where else is the money going to come from? The bonus money has to come from somewhere. They wouldn't, if they were making enough money to pay the bonuses, they wouldn't need the bailout money. Well, so this bailout money is going to go into these people's pockets as bonuses.
I'm not entirely sure it will, because certainly one of the big banks that we, the British people, will own 70% of, Royal Bank of Scotland, have decided to slim down their board and appoint three directors who are basically directors that have been nominated by the British government. So, you know, those people could turn round and say, as a company, we are no longer going to pay bonuses. But I also think it's slightly more interesting is that I saw that President Barack Obama had said that, you know, key executives in business should not have a salary of greater than $500,000. And I saw the chairman of Deutsche Bank in Germany is obviously rubbing his hands in glee, saying, oh, great, all that we're well do as well just hoover up all the real talented staff who won't take a, who want to earn more than $500,000. I'll offer them more and they'll come and work for Deutsche Bank and I'll get all the best people from the state. So, you know, it is interesting times we live in that, and you can't fault President Barack Obama for saying this one. You know, if you're a, an automotive worker or a construction worker who's been laid off from maybe their $50,000-$60,000 a year job, and you see some executive getting, you know, $500,000, $1 million, you can see why people would be aggrieved.
No, I'm sorry, Martin. I can fault him for that, and I will. And I'll tell you why. Who is he to tell anyone how much money they can make? You know, look, here we go again. This is a free country. And being a free country, now look, I'd like to make $500,000, absolutely. Do I envy those people that make $500,000 or more per year, or $1 million or $2 million? Sure I do. But you know what? I make as much money as I can possibly make. And look, he's right now telling these bankers they can't make but $500,000, or, well, he's trying to tell them that they can't make but $500,000 per year. Where does it stop? Is he eventually going to come to my job and say, okay, Homer, you're making too much money. We're going to have to see. That's the problem, isn't it? It's government control. It's the government stepping in and taking over our entire lives so that we don't even have a free country anymore. We have a government that tells us everything we can and cannot do. And look, you know, I know that the bailout money, and they're there begging for money, and I just think the government needs to tell them no. Then they can pay their people whatever they want to, or they can fire their people, or they can go bankrupt, or they can just shut the doors. I don't care. But what I do care about is the government stepping in, telling people how much money they can and can't make.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I know there have been several threads on AboveTopSecret.com have been talking about, you know, is the S word becoming more prevalent in American politics? And for those of you that are going, S word, socialism, people, socialism.
Isn't that what it is? I mean, Martin, isn't that what socialism is? It's the government coming in and telling us what we can, cannot do, how much money we can make, where we can work, whether we should get bonuses, whether we shouldn't. You know what, Martin? I say let the banks give them their bonuses. I say, fine. United Kingdom or whatever it is, if you want to give a $1 billion bonus to every one of your employees, fine, but do it without our tax.
And absolutely, but that's the point, that there have been banks in the United Kingdom, Lloyds, HBOS, Lloyds TSB, Royal Bank of Scotland, have gone, I'm going to be brutally here, cap in hand and begging to the British government to say, we've messed up, our balance sheets are short, if you don't give us any money, we're going to be out of business. And when we could argue about whether it's right to let those banks go out of business, clearly, you know, the US government, the UK government, and governments across the world decided that they could not let these banks and major banks go out of business. I agree with you. If you haven't taken any money from the taxpayer, I don't care what you do. But if you've taken money from the taxpayer, I do not expect you to use that money to pay bonuses to people. That's really where I think a lot of people in the UK are quite annoyed, is that, you know, if you're a civil servant, and you mentioned you're a government employee, you know, these people technically, if the government own the banks, they're state employees, they're government employees. Do you get huge bonuses? Will you receive a $1 million bonus for doing your job? No. That's, I think, where a lot of people are angry, is that, no, if you've taken taxpayers' money, don't pay the bonuses.
I agree. And I think that's really what this all boils down to. If these banks go hat in hand to your government, if they come hat in hand to my government, and the government decides to go ahead and give them money, which I totally oppose, but if that happens, then fine. But the bonuses need to stop. You should not be giving taxpayers' money out as bonuses to these people. Now, the banks that didn't take any taxpayer money, I don't care what they do. What difference does that make? Again, it's the free market.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm very happy with, you know, for example, Barclays Bank in the United Kingdom hasn't taken any money. I don't care if they want to pay their executive or their chief executive a $65 million bonus because he didn't go cap in hand to the government. I mean, all Barclays Bank did was actually went to some foreign investors and got the money from foreign investors. You can turn around and say, you know, only time will tell here, Homer, whether that was a smart decision or whether it was, you know, a horrendous decision when these guys call the check-in and say, oh, by the way, guys, we want our money back.
Well, smart or not, Martin, smart or not, I applaud Barclays because that's the way it should be done. I applaud them for what they've done, and I hope they give bonuses out because they're doing it the way it's supposed to be done. And if they go under, hey, they go under, you know. Maybe we ought to start putting our money in mason jars and burying in our backyard or something, you know, with all this going on. I don't know.
Yes, I was going to say we could all have put it into banks in Iceland, but that's probably not the that's probably not that diplomatic here. No doubt someone's going to moan and say, oh, I had money in Iceland banks. I'm going to look at you and say, guess what, how sad, never mind. And one of the other things that I did see sort of moving up, maybe a slightly different perspective here, and I know you and I were talking about it a little bit off air, was that the Russia seems to have softened its stance on Allied or NATO action in Afghanistan.
Yeah, it appears to me that, and I'm just looking at the article right now, I don't know if they've softened, you know, you got to kind of look at this from both ways, Martin. It does appear that they have softened their stance. However, I will present to you, Russia's not going to do anything that's not in its own best interest. And apparently, now what we're talking about here, people, is Russia is starting to allow military supplies to cross their territory to get to Afghanistan. But I believe it was in a deal that was broken on the closing of a base, wasn't it, Martin?
Well, there is an American Air Force base or an American base in Kyrgyzstan. And the Russians were looking to give Kyrgyzstan billions of dollars in aid if they closed the air base. But I now think the Americans have probably sort of kicked in a little bit and said, well, actually, we've invested a lot of money in this base. Now, one of the things I did hear was that the American government, according to Kyrgyz officials, don't exactly pay a huge amount of money. They pay $150 million a year for the right to use the air base. Well, hey, President Barack Obama, if you want to use my back garden for a military base and you want to pay me $15 million a year, feel free to call me.
You know what? I agree. But, you know, looking at this article a little bit more, I think this may be actually a personal thing. I don't think this was any sort of an issue with the Bush administration, but apparently now Obama's been making noise about sending 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan. Of course, I guess he's going to get them from Iraq, because I don't know how that's all going to play out right at this point. But in order for him to send those troops, or actually to better facilitate it, he needs that base to stay open. And Russia, I think, they're just trying to smooth the wheels a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, absolutely, but I also wonder whether maybe the Russians are turning around saying, maybe we have some unfinished business in Afghanistan, and it's maybe a way that, you know, hey, there's a conspiracy theory that, you know,
whoa,
there it is, that Russia thinks we've got unfinished business here, you know, because clearly, you know, you can make some comparisons between, you know, the American experience in Vietnam and the Russian experience in Afghanistan, you know, and it could be, maybe there's some unfinished business there.
Now, that's an interesting thought, because Afghanistan is definitely Russia's black eye. And there's no doubt that if Russia sees some sort of a way to recoup some of their lost prestige that occurred in Afghanistan. I mean, look at the movies, look at the documentaries that come out. I mean, it was even worse than Vietnam, because when Russia had their debacle in Afghanistan, we had the emerging communications, worldwide communications outburst. So everybody got to see it, everybody got to hear about it, where Vietnam, we heard some of it, but not, you know, not to the extent we did with Russia and Afghanistan. So you're right, the conspiracy theories abound when it comes to that.
Absolutely, and if you want to comment on anything that Homer and I have said, you agree, disagree, or you want to sort of raise something that we should have spoken about, find the show thread and post away. We read every thread, and occasionally where we see something that's directed at one of us, we will certainly come back and reply. But we certainly do appreciate all your, you know, your comments, you know, and you do pick us up when we make mistakes, and occasionally we do.
What?
Yes, what? We do occasionally make mistakes and get things wrong on this show. And we're coming up to time on this edition of the Above Politics Show. I have been Martin Bain.
And I'm still Homer Fife.
And we'll see you next time on the Above Politics Show.
This is Homer Fife, and this is just the way I see it. All right, everybody, grab the reins and hold on, because this is going to be quite a ride, because we're going to talk about the stimulus. What is the stimulus? It's another form of government handout. I'll tell you what it is. It's a welfare check. Someone, please explain this to me. You all voted the Democrats in, didn't you? You voted them into the administration, you voted them into the Senate, you voted them into the House. Fact. Democrats are all for raising taxes. Another fact. Democrats are all for repealing those wonderful Bush tax cuts. Another fact. So essentially, they want more of our money. No way around it. That's a given. Those are facts. Now, they want to give some of it back to us as a stimulus. I can tell you how it makes all the sense in the world. That's right. I'm going to take all of your confusion and I'm going to wrap it up into something that makes sense. If we're allowed to keep all of our own money, everything we make, if they were to do away with taxes and do something along the lines of a fair tax or a flat tax, then we are independent of the government and everything is working just as the Founding Fathers intended. We are strong, independent people once more, subsisting on our own merits and our own abilities. If they take our money in taxes and then they give it back to us, we learn to be spoon-fed from Big Brother. That's right, the government. We stop being independent and we start being totally dependent on the government. Think about it, people. Look at it this way. All of a sudden, we work, we make money, we send that money to the Democrats, and then they send it back to us. Sound like freedom? Not to me. You know what it sounds like? It sounds exactly like socialism. That's right. I said it. Socialism. Now let's talk for just a minute about hypocrisy, shall we? I'm looking over the threads at Above Top Secret, and trust me, that's one of my greatest pastimes, but I start seeing these different threads, and there's threads against RFID tags. Are you against them? Sure you are. We don't want Big Brother keeping tabs on us, now do we? No, of course not. Are we against federal IDs? Of course. Same reason. Hey, what business is it of the government where and when I go, right? Okay. We don't want the police hampering your protest, do you? You should be allowed to protest anywhere you want to. Hey, just jump out in the street and start waving your signs and all this really silly stuff. How about the police searching your homes? Whoa, Nelly. Now, that's a big one. We don't want that now, do we? Don't want the police coming in our homes. But you want your stimulus check, right? Sure you do. Now, hold on. Hold on now. What did you say? You want the government to tax you, then spoon feed the money back to you, but that's as far as it goes. You don't want the government to essentially own you. But that's what you're doing, isn't it? Aren't you working for the government now? Aren't you working so that you can pay taxes, so the government can give you your tax money back? Bunch of hypocrites. You are all only for the government staying out of your business when it benefits you, or any time it offends your personal little sensitivities. When it gets just the least little bit difficult and you have to step up, that's right, step up, maybe move, or get another job to make more money. Guess what? I don't live in the state I was born in. Why? Because the state I was born in is a poor state, and I can't make any money there. So I've had to move 3 times. Well, boo-hoo. I have moved. And you know what? I make money now. But anytime you have to step up, anytime you have to maybe make a move, you start whining about why the government isn't doing something to help. So you want the government to help, but you don't want them raiding your house if they think you're in there making drugs. Or you don't want the government objecting to your protesting. Wait, you can't have it both ways. You either want the government to control your life or you don't. You complain about Big Brother and yet you stand there with your hands out wanting your stimulus check, you bunch of hypocrites. You don't want the government bailing out the mortgage industry or the banking industry, but there are sure a bunch of threads calling for getting your check. Mr. and Mrs. Independent. Well, guess what? We are either independent or we are not. There is no halfway. And from what I've seen in the past year or two, we don't deserve the independence that's been handed down to us by our forefathers. True patriots, that's right, true men of independence who wanted nothing and took nothing from the government. So I'll tell you what, you go ahead, you keep voting in your Democrats, you keep letting them raise your taxes, maybe, just maybe, they'll stay in a good enough mood to give you just enough back to live on, if you beg them hard enough. This is Homer Fife.
And it's just the way I see it.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.